Welcome to Season 6 of the Food for Your Soul podcast, where we apply the Word of God to the hearts of men and women to stoke the fires of your delight in Christ. This season of the podcast is devoted to the greatest sermon ever preached, the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus teaches his people about life in the kingdom of God.
Today's episode is the Q&A that followed the message on Matthew 6:24, where Jesus said, "No one can serve two masters. He will either hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." We had four questions in this session. First, who is George Mueller? Because I mentioned him in one of the comments, but didn't say who he was, so I'll talk about that. Number two, if you have a large debt, should you retire that first before giving to the Lord? Number three, how do you choose which poor people to give to? You can't help everyone. And then number four, what about people who give foolishly, such as to a false teacher, but with a good heart? Let's dive in.
Henry? Oh, I didn't mention George Mueller. George Mueller, wonderful, inspiring example of a guy who just gave away everything and ran an orphanage and just depended on God to supply all his needs, like from hour to hour, and literally food would show up on his doorstep. You know, he'd pray. They'd be running out of food, nothing to feed the kids. They'd pray, food would arrive, you know. And so, one of those examples of someone who really put his money where his mouth is. Although, if somebody does that, somebody else has to work in order to deliver food to his door, you know, right? So, yeah, okay. So the question is, if you're in debt, that money belongs to someone else, not to you, and therefore you shouldn't be putting in the offering or doing anything else with it. You should be getting out of debt first priority before you would give any offering. I disagree with that. I think people who say that really aren't very consistent with it, because if they have to choose, suppose they owe $10,000. They don't wait until that whole $10,000 is paid off before they go to the grocery store. They'll keep going to the grocery store the whole time and keep feeding themselves. And rightly so. God doesn't expect us to just die, you know, just to give 100% until you just keel over. You have to make decisions with your money. And you always have to decide. You have to juggle. If you can't pay all your bills, you have to decide which ones to pay. And you put certain priorities ahead of other priorities. And so, God is always first. He's always first. And it's poor logic anyway, because what it assumes is you say, well, I want to pay off this debt faster. How do you know that you're going to pay off the debt faster? By cutting off your worship to the Lord and ceasing your honoring the Lord with your first fruits. Why do you think you're going to pay off faster? Couldn't it be that if you honor the Lord with your first fruits, then He will bless you in ways that will make it easier for you to pay off your debt? Maybe He'll bless you in material ways and you'll pay off your debt faster. That's the experience of countless people I've talked to, and in my own personal life that happened. And so I've seen it again and again and again. God is generous. And sometimes He rewards giving with material. I mean, He says all these things will be added to you as well. Everything you need to carry out your calling, and one of the things you need to carry out your calling is the ability to pay off your debts. So it should be a high priority to get out of debt, but not a higher priority than worship. Jason. Yeah, that's Malachi 3. He says, go ahead and test me. Because they, in Malachi 3, they weren't giving the tithe. And he says, just test me. Bring the tithe and see if your barns can hold what I'm going to give you. So, Jennifer. Yeah, I think we should have an attitude like in the Proverbs, where he says, Lord, don't give me too little, or I'm going to be tempted with all kinds of sins I'm going to be tempted to steal if I'm starving. And don't give me too much, because that'll come with a bunch of temptations. And have a sense of, Lord, give me enough to do what you want me to do, and I don't need anything beyond that. You know. So, in that seminar yesterday, we were supposed to do all our calculations, and if we follow his program, he says, you'll be out of debt, you'll have your house paid off by this date, and then by this date you'll have this much and everything, and you calculate it all the way out, and I did it. Tracy was sitting next to me, she calculated it all out and did it for, if we follow his program, then by age 70, I end up with $1.6 million. And I thought, what do I need $1.6 million for at age 70? You know, with no mortgage or anything. What do I need that for? I would feel kind of ashamed if I died with $1.6 million in the bank. And the Lord says, well, you know, I had things going, you know, on earth that needed funding. Why do you have $1.7 million in the bank? Anyway, anything else? Yeah, when you give to the poor, how do you pick out the poor? Do you just give to people living on the street or whatever, and does it matter if they're just going to use it to buy alcohol or something? Or yeah. Right. Yeah, you want to use biblical principles like that. If a man won't work, neither let him eat. And you give a huge preference to believers who are poor. Jesus said, when there's going to be some people who get to heaven, and they're going to receive a bunch of reward, and they're going to say, why am I getting this reward? And he's going to say, because when I was hungry, you fed me, I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink, when I was in prison, you visited me, and all that. And they say, when do we do that? And he said, whenever you did it to whom? The least of these what? Brothers. Brothers. Why did Jesus specify brothers? Shouldn't we help the hungry and the imprisoned and all that who are non-Christians? Well, yeah, we should, but especially brothers. Especially brothers. You say, how do you know you're supposed to help just anyone and everyone who's needy? Well, because of the Good Samaritan parable. You know, he didn't make the guy fill out a survey to find out if he's spiritual before he got him out of the ditch. He just saw a need and he helped him. So if you come across a need and there's some great suffering, then you want to be compassionate. But especially the brothers. And when it comes to non-Christians, you know, you have to decide where to give your benevolence money, right? Because you can't help everybody. And so for what I do is when I want to help the needy, I give to Vision Nationals in India. Because they're helping the needy in physical ways and spiritual ways. Not only do they do things to provide food and shelter for orphans and widows and all that, but they lead them to the Lord and they tell them the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So that, I mean, I don't give money to some secular organization that goes and just gives relief to suffering people so that they're more comfortable between now and when they go to hell. That's not real compassion. I want to give my money to somebody who's going to help them physically, but also give them the gospel. That's the greatest spiritual aid that you can give to an unbeliever. So I say, you know, give to the benevolence fund, and that goes to believers whom we, the leadership of the church, will use biblical principles to decide about how to help them, our brothers and sisters around us. These are the people. Now, granted, we're wealthy. Even the poor among us are wealthy by world standards. Yet, this is where God puts you. And so these are your brothers and sisters. These are the ones you're supposed to take care of. And so we do benevolence here in our church. And then we give money to missions, and that goes off to places where they take care of the poorest of the poor in India and help them in spiritual and physical ways. So that's how I all my giving goes to those two things. And I mean, I give to the church, and then my other giving goes to missions and benevolence, and I have it all designated. If I have extra money, I don't give it to, you know, I don't put it in the guy ringing the bell at the store or whatever, because I think it can be put to better use. So that's how I do it. Any other questions? Yeah, Mike? Okay, great question. What about these people that give foolishly but with a good heart? Like they give to... They see Benny Hinn on TV and he says something good and they think, oh, I'll give to him, and they don't realize that he's a false teacher. What will God reward that? I think God, you know, God is wise enough to separate things out. He will reward them for their good heart, and he will require them to give an account for their poor discernment. Both. So we need to be careful about foolish giving. I think we need to be very careful. God He wants us to be good stewards and not to squander money and not to give foolishly. And so be careful not to give your money to somebody who might be teaching false doctrine and leading people into hell, and you're funding that. Be discerning in the way that you give. But if you do your best and you find out you've given to somebody that, you know, wasn't worthy of it, then yes, God will reward what's in your heart. David wanted to do something that God didn't want him to do. He wanted to build a temple, and God didn't want him. That wasn't God's will. And so God said no, but he said to David, it was good that you had that in your heart. So yeah, God rewards what's in your heart, even if it pushes you in the wrong direction a little bit.
Thank you for listening. We pray that in this series, your life will be transformed by the soaring ethics, deep insights, and glorious promises of the Sermon on the Mount. We are crowdfunded ministry, so if you would like this podcast to continue, please consider supporting us with a tax-deductible gift. Just go to treasuringgod.com and click on Give. Until next time, rejoice in the Lord always and set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God.